Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. We want to thank you for tuning in to tonight's show. We know we haven't been on here the last couple of Mondays. We both were busy, tied up getting some different things done. But, you know, we're back and glad to be able to be on these airwaves to share our thoughts and opinions about things that are going on in the media. And one of the things we want to do before taking the show off today is to but read the thought for the day. This comes from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Dennis Kimbrough. And the thought for the day, March 25th, sleeping with the enemy. The triumphant song of life would lose its melody without the minor keys, unquote. And that quote is from Mary McLeod Bethune, who great educator who started Bethune-Cookman College. He, on an empty parking lot, he saw and envisioned a college that exists today, Bethune-Cookman College. And she sold sweet potatoes and everything else to do to initially get that school built. Well, here's the reading for today. The master taught you to, quote, love your enemies, unquote. Why? When we look at our, quote, enemies, unquote, as our teachers, they cease to be our opponents and eventually become our greatest asset. We are told of an ancient Greek who paid someone a daily wage to follow him through his affairs and insult him so that through and learning to remain steadfast in the face of criticism, he would develop strength of character. Considering his example, perhaps we should be thankful that our adversaries are doing us such a valuable service. Throughout her workshops, tennis great Althea Gibson demonstrated this principle. Why? Because superior opponents force us to do our best. And so it is with the inner game of life. We have to master any field of endeavor to know the value of the talent, adversary, and discipline. The violin for Torso welcomes with enthusiasm a new and difficult piece of music to master. He must flex his muscles to master the piece. He knows that through the practice of overcoming the challenge, his proficiency is enhanced. Quote, the same hammer that shatters glass, unquote, Marcus Garvey explains, quote, forges the steel, unquote. Looking at adversity and challenge in this manner can love our enemies. They serve us hard shots until we learn to return them. Today I will embrace my difficulties and grow from them. This is a powerful, powerful reading for today because, you know, there's a lot of people out here right now, as me and David were talking about, you know, through these two documentaries that came out that basically condemned the character of all black men. And that was the documentary on R. Kelly. And then they came up with a documentary on Michael Jackson called Beyond Neverland, in which two of his accusers, one who in real life, when he had a chance to testify on trial, said that nothing didn't happen between him and Michael. And then they get Oprah Winfrey to support the documentary and come out and listen to, you know, Michael's accusers and say that there's some validity to what they're saying. Thing is, he was already tried for the crimes that they say he committed. And, you know, we see this again with the whole Bill Cosby fiasco, is that once they can tarnish your image, then people, you know, will look at you differently in life. And even though, you know, the thing for these two people, Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, you know, I mean, again, you know, some very questionable things that happened. I mean, today I found out that R. Kelly's lawyer, is being fined and are probably going to have to do some jail time. So, you know, so there's a lot that goes on in terms of propaganda in the media. And again, if we don't understand how these institutions work, and, you know, they might have an ounce of truth and 99 ounces of falsehood, but they can make that 1 ounce of truth look like it's so impeccable that, you know, and they get our people to start questioning, you know, ourselves. And it's sort of like, remember Dr. Karinga used to say, one of the things in terms of the movement, what the oppressor would do is first is to character assassinate you, isolate you, and then alienate you from your community. And then from there, they could do whatever they want, say whatever they want. So you know, character assassination is an old game that our adversaries have been really, really pretty good at. And, you know, so it's really interesting, you know, when we have to defend our character, even defending the character of those people who are no longer here because they can't even speak for themselves. That's my take on the two documentaries. I'm going to go a little bit more into them to share with our listening audience the image of black men and how we're portrayed in the media and the power of movies and how these images portray us to our people. Any comments, David?
Oh, yes, yes. First of all, I want to thank the listening audience for allowing we to be on these airwaves. As I often mention, what this topic is all about propaganda, media, influencing one's mind, brainwashing, whatever you want to call it. But media is a powerful, powerful tool. And in the wrong hands, it can enhance you or it can be devastating to you. And, you know, and I always encourage people to have an open mind, but don't be too quick to judge. Even the Bible, the Quran, and many other faith-based books have mentioned this in there. You know, be careful about judging or lest you be judged. And it's a sad time here in the United States and all over the world. Because speaking of character assassination, that's exactly what's taking place. Now, I understand media because that's my industry. I'm a publisher. I build websites and radio hosts. I do quite a few things in the media. That's my forte, so to speak. And I studied my industry. I understand my industry. And I understand the power of persuasion because that's what we do. We give, you know, and then, you know, we used to have what they call old school journalism, where people stated what they thought was facts and then let you come up, surmise with the conclusion to it. But today's way journalism works, it's one side and that's it. And I'll give you a prime example, it's Fox News, and then you can look at MSNBC. You can talk about the same subject matter, but the two opposite, one on the South Pole, one on the North Pole, talking about this exact same thing. They're supposed to be professional journalists. And so this is what's happening in today's time. But ladies and gentlemen, I heard my brother Satavi speak about the fiasco about Michael Jackson, black men, R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, and the list can go on and on. O.J. Simpson, we can just go on and on. The killing in the streets and all kinds of stuff that's being perpetrated. And even this young man who, as they say, Mofet, I think his name is, something like that. He said he was beat up by some people. Then they say he set it up. But and now he got 16 counts against him. You know, and I was just thinking, over the last year and a half, couple of years, people have been calling in on black people, little children selling stuff on the street, selling Kool-Aid, whatever they were selling, at a swimming pool, walking children, going into their own home. People have called the police on them, and nothing happens to them. Not one indictment. Not even locked up. Not even, you know, just they get smeared in the press. That's it. But as soon as a black man does it, oh, it's all hell break loose. Excuse my expression. But see, this is the disparity between justice, because there's actually two justices here in the United States. I know we like to believe that all things are fair, all things are good. But unfortunately, you know that's not to be the truth. And unfortunately, this is a case in point is this. I'm talking about what the dominant society say is justice. They say a man, if he'd been accused, he would have his day in court. Well, O.J. Simpson had his day in court. Bill Cosby had his day in court. R. Kelly had his day in court. Michael Jackson had his day in court. And they were found not guilty of certain crimes and misdemeanors, whatever they were, but they were found not guilty. But the Court of Public Appeals would not let that rest. So what they decided to do is to start a smear campaign, like you say, assassinate their characters. They won't let it go until they feel as though justice is done. Not only did Bill Cosby beat the charge, they tried him again. Now he's sitting in jail. Not all the people have been charged with the same trial. Haven't even been to court yet. What's wrong with that picture? O.J. Simpson, he went to court. Some people stole some stuff, and he tried to get it back, and he ends up in jail and took his money from him, too. But he had his day in court. R. Kelly, the same way. They put a documentary out, and now he's back in jail, and all kinds of hell broke loose on him because he assassinated his character. And the list goes on and on. These are the things that you see in public. Can you imagine? For every time you see something in public, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of times, those brothers out here and sisters out here who's not in the spotlight getting that same type of character assassination, the same type of justice that these brothers are getting right now. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I wasn't behind closed doors. I don't know what was behind the closed doors with Michael Jackson or R. Kelly. I don't know. Maybe you don't know. All you're going is by hearsay. If you wasn't in the room, then all you're hearing is hearsay. But yet, we are so quick to judge. And I'm going to tell you, let me say this to you. By me being this media, let me tell you how they spin this thing, how they spin things about us as black men. Now, y'all may see it, like I say, a lot of women and people are up in arms about the R. Kelly thing, the Michael Jackson thing. I even heard supposed to be a renowned black journalist that sits on television every morning on Good Morning America. He watched the Michael Jackson thing. Now, he's supposed to be a professional journalist. And he goes on and after the thing aired and said, this is what came out of his mouth. He said, after watching this documentary, I used to love Michael Jackson. I love his music and everything. But now I can't even listen to it now. Now, he's a professional journalist. He know that stuff is one side. He know they didn't do a full investigation. He knows this. But yet, he's going to go on national TV and make that kind of statement. And I'm going to bounce all over the place because it hits me all over the place like this. You see, part of the media, this is what they do. since they didn't get the justice that they decided that they wanted, because every once in a while we sneak through the cracks and we beat their system. And they ain't going to let that go. They ain't going to let that go until they, what they call, they totally destroy the person. And that's what happened to these people I just mentioned. They totally tried to destroy them. But guess what? Who they used to destroy them with? The first thing they go get is another black person to speak against another black person. They get an Oprah Winfrey. That guy Craig to be on the Good Morning America and all these little black TV shows. They get a black person to accuse another black person so that they can keep their hands clean, so to speak. Oh, I didn't think she said it. You know, and we fighting amongst each other. But what about all these documentaries about all of these mass murderers that's taking place in this country? Killing school children, killing 50 people, killing 60 people here and there. Ain't no documentaries done on them. And they actually out here killed people because it was them that was doing it. They keep their stuff clean. They put your stuff out there. In other words, with my perspective, what I'm trying to say, they're telling us to stay in our place. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. Since the, President Obama, you know, was the president, it was all out war from that point on us. It was open season on us. Because we went to a level that they did not thought we would ever get to. And see, it's another thing. With all this propaganda media, one of the biggest factors in all of this thing is called fear. These people actually are fearing that we're going to do to them what they had done to us. And if that was the case, they have a right to be feared or be scared, because the atrocities that they did to us as a people is atrocious. I mean, it's unthinkable, the stuff that they had done and still doing to us. And that's why they fear us so much, because if we even gave them the same thing, eye for an eye, I would be shaking in my boots if I did that kind of stuff to people. I couldn't even sleep at night. But in any case, back to the what's going on in this media. The underlying thing, yeah, it's R. Kelly, it's Michael Jackson, but one thing they all had in common, they were black men. And it's a known fact that there's a lot of fears about black men. There's a fear that black men, if they ever come into their own and to their rightful place, that they can't control us, you know. In other words, we are the original people, and civilization came from us, but a lot of things has been taken, stolen, whatever you want to have from us, and they dare not want to awaken sleeping giant, because again, it's out of fear what we might do to them, what they had done to us. But what they don't know about black people, black men, that's not truly our nature. You know, we have the nature of God. You know, we peace loving, we're forgiving people. But they don't recognize, they want to demonize us. They want to slander us. They want all of us to be rapists. They want all of us to be murderers, thugs, crooks. Because that's the image that they betray of us. And unfortunately, they use us against us. And I'm going to say this again. You dare not. They dare not start bringing stuff up about the Jewish people, about Asian people. We're the only people that they can do this to, because we have no lines of defense when it comes to this. They do. They had defamation leave. They would actually kill you if you went out there and start slandering them the way they slandered. Those people who does that would have been dead today, because their people would not allow that to happen. And the reason why I tell people this, and I told you I'm in the media, and I say this every time I'm on it, we own less than 1% of the media, so we really don't have a voice at all. Everything we hear is coming from them. And Brother Satai, I always mention to you that it's a lot of brainwashing that takes place in the media, propaganda. They study us. They plan for our demise. And it's sad. It is so sad that what's taking place after all of these years in this country, people still thinking on these type of levels. That's all the scientific facts that all men are created equal. Our blood just as good as their blood. Our thinking just as good as their thinking. Everything else, but yet people still have these small things, and that's because propaganda still sending these subliminal messages to people's minds. And things are being passed on from generation to generation, nothing but fear. And it's sad, and I'm a God-fearing man, but you know, I'm only a man as well. And it's very upsetting to me, to my community, to my brothers, and to my sons, nephews, that they betray us in this type of manner. They're killing us in the street. They're doing everything they can, and I mean, and nothing, no reciprocal, no justice being done about that. After all they did to us, and they still going to slander us and drag us through the media the way they do. And like I said, it's a sad day in America, but even the president of the United States, all the atrocities that since he's been in, all the lies that this man told, all the things that he's doing, the Gaza Strip today, yesterday, I mean, stuff that he's causing people to die over. Nobody saves the people. Oh, we don't like this and this, that, and this, that. But people could kill Muslims, and he won't lift a voice to say anything about them. But, you know, but like I said, all these terrorists we got running around in this country, Cajun terrorists, nothing's being said about them. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's the reality of what's taking place today. But let me also say this to you. Certain groups of people going to do what they do because that's what they do. But the whole point is we're trying to enlighten you. Don't be too quick to judge. Don't be so quick to point the finger at your own kind. You have to look at the entire picture. You got to look at who's telling the story and why they're telling it. You have to dig quite a bit deeper. You know, they say the truth will set you free. You know, you have to seek it, though. You know, they ain't going to come to you. You know, they ain't going to share with you why they do the things you do. Why all of a sudden these documentaries popping up? Because they can. Ain't no repercussion going to take place. Where was the old organization, the NAACPs and all of them people that we had back in the day? You know, they would have been an uproar about that back then. But you hear not a peep today. Because they infiltrated everything that we have, that we own, and that we organize in. And if we're not careful, this is the warning shot. I want you to listen to me very carefully. If we're not careful, you can look at the penal institutions. You can look at everything out there, what's taking place in this country, what's happening to black people all over this world. It's an atrocity. And no one's doing anything. No one's saying anything. And then the ones who do try to say, they try to muffle our voices. And see, I'm the type of person, you know, I have no fear because I'm a strong believer in God and what's for me, what's going to happen is going to happen. But at the same time, you know, if you don't stand for something, the old saying that you will fall for anything. And it's time we as a people have to stand up. We have to be accountable not only to ourselves, to our children, but to each other as well. And again, just please don't be so quick to judge us because of what somebody else is saying or what the news media is saying. You know, like I say, it's detrimental when we have to fight amongst our own selves about something or some rumors of things that happen with somebody else telling us. And it's another form of self-hatred. And that's been we are brainwashed in that area as well. I mean, the truth, like I said, is going to set us free. A lot of us don't like us, period. Because we are taught that way. We are trained that way. And, Brother Satavi, you know, the more I think about this and I have to sit in real time and watch this thing as it plays out, how the media is betraying us, how they are crying up to the public, the court of public appeals, and how they're using us against us, and how we are fighting amongst ourselves. And I have to look at this, and and it hurts, but you know, you can't sit back, you can't run in the corner and do nothing. And so that's why I do the things that I do. You know, that's why I publish the National Black Unity News. See, we bring forth good information, powerful information, and it's by us and it's for us. We share information with our listening audience and our subscribers about professionals in many different areas, about how they can enhance your quality of life. And I encourage you, you know, like I said, we have less than 1% of the media, that you need to support this publication because we have very few voices out there. And we're going to continue. If we don't support publications and radio broadcasts like this, and I'm not just any black newspaper, you need to get on board and make them accountable as well. Because oftentimes we report, we echo the things that they are saying about us without doing the fact checking, you know, in any case. But we are, the National Black Unity News is unique. We are not kept. We are not bought by anybody. We are independent, self-sufficient. And so I'm saying you to say this. There's we have all this information at our fingertips. We have the internet. We have computers, cell phones. We have all these tablets, and we got all of this information at our fingertips. But yet we still sit around and listen to propaganda without doing any fact checking on our own. You know, if we who are here today don't prepare ourselves and prepare our children for tomorrow, and if we continue in this frame of mold, in this frame of mind that we are currently in, it don't look good for us. But I always say I there is hope. And like I said, there's a lot of folks out here on an independent basis that are trying to speak the truth and tell the truth and trying to help set the captives free. And you need to yourself, you know, if there's a problem in our community, you stand up and try to fix it. I know you can't fix everything, but in your own circle, you can do what you need to do. And that's how change takes place. And like I said, so sad, here it is, 2019, and we're still talking the race card. We're still talking about black, white. We're still talking about discriminating because the reason is because it never went away. And the way things are going, it probably never will. But like I say, they're going to do what they do, but it's high time that we start doing what we need to do for the benefit of us, for the benefit of our future generations. And I encourage you again, you know, support the National Black Unity News because it's designed to support you. And if you want to get a copy, you can go online. You can go to our website at www.thenationalblackunitynews.com or you can call 443-455-2373. I see that it's the top of the hour, and I'm going to bring it back to my brother Satavi because I know he has some information he wants to share about some of the things that he's doing as well. But we're going to come back and finish this discussion because it needs to be talked about. We need to speak about it because if we don't, we're going to keep hearing this other kind of propaganda keep coming our ways, and we need to hear another point of view. So back to you, Brother Satavi.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David. Yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk about some information from this book that I'm reading called Brainwashed, which is written by a good brother by the name of Tom Burrell, who was has a major marketing company in this country, and he has some very interesting stuff that he says about issues at hand. But anyway, yes, top of the hour, and make sure, remember, this show is brought to you by The Vortex, and you probably said, well, what is The Vortex? The Vortex is an online consumer booking engine that allows you to save on your travel. There's no cost for The Vortex. It is a gift. And what it does is every time that you need to book a hotel, it has a built-in algorithm that searches for the lowest internet price, and then it reduces that price. It'll go online and it'll search the all of the different websites that's out there, and there's basically two companies that have a monopoly over what goes on in terms of online booking, and that's Expedia and PriceRite. And so even though you might think you're booking with Kayak or some other place, Hotels.com or Orbitz, those companies are branches of these two main companies that have a monopoly on the market. So what we do is we find a way to beat those prices and make sure that you get the cheapest online retail price. And so what that does, when you use the link that we give you, you can, in terms of like example, if you're looking for a hotel in Miami, we found that on Expedia, you would pay like about $70 a night and for hotel stay in Miami. And we're able to get that same hotel stay for you for like $35 a night, saving you $35. So all we said is, if you can save money, why not take advantage of saving money? So make sure you go to myvortex365.com/mugroup and create your free account. When you create your free account, it will allow you to be able to book and start saving some money on your hotel stays, your resort stays, your car rentals, and on international flights. So make sure you take advantage of that. And, you know, the thing is that there's a lot that you can get out of being able to become a Vortex owner. And if you're in the Baltimore area, come out this Thursday to the Ina Pratt Library in Edmondson Village at 6 o'clock. We will be doing a Vortex presentation, and we also will be doing a presentation, on investment into a new technology, a new global international technology that you can begin to invest some money in. And if you miss Facebook, if you miss Google, if you missed any of those opportunities before they went public, Microsoft, this is your time to be able to take a step forward in the right direction that can save you in the long run and also help you with being able to grow a portfolio that for pennies on a dollar will create an investment portfolio for you that will enable you to have shares in a major, major company. So if we knew what Microsoft was going to do when they first came out, and when they first came out, it was 13 cents a share. And we have these pre-IPO shares that a person can purchase for as low as $5 to $10 in terms of initial investment. And it will position you to be able to obtain tremendous value in the marketplace once we go public on the stock exchange. So come out Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Edmondson Village Library, this Thursday, and we'll be meeting in the basement of the Edmondson Village Library. But just ask for the Movements of Liberty group and come on down to the basement, spend some time with us, and we'd be more than happy to serve you information and make sure you see the value of what it is that we're offering. So, okay, with that being said, and one of the things I'm going to do is I want to go into a quote from this book that deals with the whole thing about propaganda. And one of the things that gentleman says in his book, he says, is that who are not dark-skinned white people, says advertising visionary Tom Burrell. In fact, they are much more. They are survivors of the Middle Passage and centuries of humiliation and deprivation, who have excelled against the odds, constantly making a way out of no way. At this pivotal point in history, the idea of black inferiority should have had a going out of business sale. After all, didn't Barack Obama reach America's quote unquote promised land? Yet, as this book, Brainwashed, Challenging the Myth of Black Inferiority, testifies, too many in black America are still wandering in the wilderness. In this powerful examination of the greatest propaganda campaign of all time, masterful marketing of black inferiority, a.k.a. the B.I. complex, Burrell poses 10 disturbing questions that will make black people look in the mirror and ask why, nearly 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, so many blacks still think and act like slaves. Burrell's acute awareness of the power of words and images to shift, shape, and change the collective consciousness has led him to connect the contemporary and historical dots that have brought us to this crossroads. Brainwash is not a reprimand. It is a call to action. It demands that we question our self-defeating attitudes and behaviors. Racism is not the issue. How we respond to media distortion and programming, self-hatred is the issue. It's time to reverse the Black Inferiority Campaign with a global-based initiative that harnesses the power of new media, the wisdom of intergenerational coalitions, provocative and powerful. Brainwash dares to expose the wounds so that we at last can heal. Mr. Burrell is a marketing communications pioneer and advertising of Hall of Fame inductee. Tom Burrell is credited with revolutionizing the image of African Americans in television and changing the face of American advertising. His award-winning work promoted positive and realistic images of blacks and acknowledged the purchasing power of African American community. Burrell is the founder of the Resolution Project. That is www.theresolutionproject.us, a nonprofit organization that promotes interracial dialogue, community-based new media. Stop the Brainwash campaign. He lives in Chicago's South Loop area. So this is a powerful book. I suggest people out there listening, you know, to go pick up a copy of Brainwash, Challenging the Myth for Black Inferiority by Tom Burrell. And I'll make sure that I list that in the show credits so that we can make sure people know how to pick up a copy of the book. Back to you, David.
Okay, yeah, very interesting. You know, it just so happens that I wrote an article in an upcoming issue, which is coming out April, the first week in April, of the National Black Energy News. And that's pretty much what my subject matter is, talking about promotion and advertisement in the black community. I made a point in my article about how we used to, back in the day, I guess during the slavery time, Jim Crow area, where they used to make black men and children dance. And they would throw pennies at their feet. Sometimes they would even shoot at them. And And not only did we dance, they would make us sing for them. You know, we would entertain them. That's what they're using us for. Now, after we done worked all day, slaves all day, then they felt the need to be entertained. So that's what they would do. They would go get little black children, men, women, make them dance, sing, and play music for them. And now I said that for a reason. Now, look what's happening in today's commercials. Most every black commercial, when it's talking to the black community, what are we doing? We singing, we dancing, we wearing all types of loud clothes and stuff like that, because that's what we had to wear in slavery, you know, whatever they hand us there. We just do something together. But something changes, some things stay the same. And so that's the imagery of them. See, that imagery haven't changed for them. They still see it as a form of entertainment. As it is used and abused us. They still sit up there, every Coca-Cola commercial, we singing and dancing. And acting a fool, you know, so they can be entertained. And that's what they think, that's what we like. That's the sum total of us. And like I say, you know, so, I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to look for things with a critical eye sometimes. And guess who they use? It's like his brother saying that he's the advertising executive, and he's tried to change the narrative of that. But I guess he sees the same thing I'm seeing. Just about every time they want to send out a message to us, I don't care if it's liquor or clothing or even insurance, we singing and dancing. And that's the kind of imagery. Oh, well, they good. They good singers. They good dancers. But we good for nothing for everything else. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, see, it's a lot of, like I say, brainwashing, propaganda take place in this 21st century that they were using way back then, because they have it in their mindset, that's us. You entertain our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, with the same shenanigans, and now you're still doing it today. And that's why I say, that's why, again, I publish the National Black Unity News. And that's why I'm on these airways right now, because we're trying to change that narrative. You know, like I said, it's more to us than that. We are scientists. We're lawyers. We're everything. We are creators, inventors. We just about everything you said, we had our hand on it at one point in time or another. And so it's a shame that we have been seduced or reduced to singing and dancing. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this whole topic or subject matter is extremely important. There was a letter written some time ago called the Willie Lynch Letter, and they were saying that these are the things to kind of keep us in check. Even to this day, it's a lot of things that's being perpetrated on us that's keeping us in check. You know, it breaks my heart the way we are being portrayed. You know, anytime we do something wrong, it gets blasted through the media, mass media. But all the great and wonderful contributions that we made, you don't hear a peep out of. They try to just don't want people to know. They don't want people to know your contributions. But nevertheless, again, I keep saying this again. They're going to do what they continue to do, and right now we have no power what they do, but we do have power as to what we do. And I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear me very clearly. This is about survival. This is about the future of our future generation, our children and our children's children. This is about a quality of life. Now, I always give this example. I used to work years when I was a young man, a teenager. I used to have this as a dishwasher. And I worked for this Jewish catering company. And the owner of the company was a kind of straightforward person. You know, he just spoke his mind. But I think his heart was in the right place. You know, he used to pull me up and just talk sometimes. He was inquisitive, and I guess he figured I was inquisitive as well. And and he was saying, you know, he was wondering why we as a people must fight and demonstrate we have done so that they can benefit from the work that we've done. And most of the Jews made quite sure they made a lot of them made their fortunes from us. And he was wondering why we're still in this same position. And he could never figure it out. He said, because he explained to me one day, he said, the people that he caters to, some of the companies that he caters to, the organization, he said some of them people he cannot stand the air they breathe sometimes. He just can't stand them. He said, but when it comes to do business, they do business with me and I do business with them because we understand about the survival and supporting our people and our culture. They say they will bypass white businesses, black, Asian businesses to support their own. And from that day on, you know, it made sense to me because all cultures pretty much do that, except, I said again, most all cultures do that, except black people, indigenous people, African American, black people, melanated people, because we have been brainwashed, ladies and gentlemen, to not love one another, to dislike each other. And that's how powerful the media is, to even turn on against you against yourself. And but you know, yesterday is yesterday, today is today. Today I'm going to talk to you about how we can flip that switch, so to speak, how we can change the narrative. And Michael Jackson said it best. You got to start with the man in the mirror. You know, you can't expect the whole world to just get in line and start doing things, but you can start. But the only person you have control over is that is yourself. Take a hard look at yourself. What are you doing as an individual to make a better life for your children? I'm not talking about just going to work and putting food on the table. I'm talking about preparing our people for a better community, for better education, for a better future for our young people. What are you doing? Are you sitting back watching television and getting self-hatred, propaganda? Are you sitting back complaining about this and about that? Or should you, or are you doing something to change you so that you can be an enhancement to our community, an asset to the community, an asset to our children's future? See, everything starts with us. And we have to make a conscious, a deliberate effort to support one another. That's why it's so important to support radio programs like this. Somebody going to bring it to you for real, keep it real. Somebody that's going to lay it on the line. You see, right now, you know, like I say, people, you don't know the sacrifice people make so that you can have a better quality of life. But yet, a lot of us, I'm not saying it just you, but a lot of us will go running right to the person that is enslaving us, give them all the support in the world, and you will bypass your own brothers and sisters. And you have to understand, the playing field is not equal. See, they can buy things and walk and do things like that because they got, after all the work we put in this work, that they benefit from. See, we're starting from scratch. But we have power, ladies and gentlemen. I also say on this radio broadcast that, you know, the government says that we spend $1.2 trillion annually. But I also believe in my heart of hearts that that's not a true figure, because I think it's four or five times more than that, because other people don't want you to know your true power. Even the amount that they say we spend on that equates to almost the ninth largest country in the world. That's power, ladies and gentlemen. They also say, and it's almost a fact, that we spend less than 1%. I mean, other words, they say the money coming to our hands, that $1.2 trillion, as they quoted to us, that don't stay in our hands, 6 hours before it goes out to other cultures. They say some cultures goes all the way up to 13, 14, 15 times before it goes out to anybody else. I mean, the money passed from one hand to another, from one Jew to another Jew to another Jew to another Jew before it goes out to anybody else. As soon as we get in our hand, we take it and go right back out to somebody else. Bypass our brothers and sisters. We take our money and spend on everybody else but us. Everybody all over the world understands the power that we possess except for us. I often say this on these airwaves that people come from all over the world and set up shop in our neighborhood because they know that we spend money when we have money to spend. Even in the ghettos of the ghetto, they are making a fortune off of us. That we can do the same thing we did before. When we supported our businesses back in the day, we owned hospitals, hotels, everything else. Right here in Baltimore, I live in Baltimore, right up and down Pennsylvania Avenue. And just about everything we want, every corner store pretty much was owned by us. We owned tailors, our own cleaning. We had just about everything you need was right here in the hood. But again, they also had this thing called segregation, so we took our money out and spent on everybody else, but nobody's coming back to spend on us. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a solution to all of this. Like I said, they're going to keep on putting out the propaganda. They're going to keep out brainwashing us. They're going to continue to do what they do. But one thing they cannot do, one thing they cannot do is this. They cannot control you unless you allow them to. And again, nobody's going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. We have power. We have resources. We have everything we need, ladies and gentlemen. We just have to look at that man in the mirror. We have to make a conscious effort to support one another. Brother Satari read to you a couple of articles, narratives about propaganda, how the media works on black men. He also read about an advertising executive tell you just what they're doing to us, brainwashing us. And we are falling for it. They have pit us against us. But we have to learn how to start reading between the lines and look at things objectively, and we have to look at things for what they really are, not what somebody said or what somebody portray us as. I am you, and you are me. And you, my brothers, you, my sisters. When I support you, I'm supporting your household, your children's future. When you support me, it's vice versa. You support my house and my children's future. You may be the one to give my child a job. And I may be the one to give your child, your nephews and nieces a job. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let's make a conscious effort to stop listening to the okey-doke, as we call it, in the hood, the propaganda, the brainwashing. Because that's exactly what's being done to us. We have to stop this self-hatred and start loving one another, because love conquers all. Love is powerful. And God did not make no mistake. He didn't make our people a mistake. Because we are the original people. Everybody else is offsprings. We are civilization. Just things because we are the type of people, things have been taken and stolen from us. But God also said, the first shall be last and last shall be first. But I'm going to tell you this. Again, we have everything we need, ladies and gentlemen. And I encourage you because, like I said, I'm looking in the mirror myself. And that's why started the National Black Unity News. That's why I'm on these airways. That's why we're going to be doing a series of podcasts, because we're going to make our voice heard. Our voice is being heard. But we need your support, because, like I said, the reason why we need your support, because we're here to support you. Again, you can go to www.thenationalblackunitynews and get us and see our publication online. You can also come back and listen to this show every Monday, 7:30. And listen to our broadcast. And so we will continue to try to enlighten you. You know, we invite some of you to be guests from time to time. You can also call 443-455-2373 to order your publication so we can actually send it to your home or office. And it's a lot of wonderful things that are taking place in the publication, a lot of good information that can enhance your quality of life. So I encourage you to support the National Black Unity News, but I encourage you to support all of our publications. I encourage you to support all of our businesses and services. In spite of, you know, we get burned by the large community every day, and we don't complain that much. We don't say, well, I ain't never going to another black business. I ain't never going to do that. We have to change that, too. Because like I said, when you support your own, you're supporting yourself. And we have to change our attitude about a lot of things. It's up to us to do for us. Ain't nobody else going to do for us again what we can do for ourselves. Ain't nobody else that ain't done it yet. And they never will. So, ladies and gentlemen, you take that look in the mirror. Just where you are. Do what you can with what you have. And that's how change begins. God put it in you just like he put it in me, just like he put it in everybody. We have all these gifts and talents. We just have to. Maturity begins at home, ladies and gentlemen. Take care of yourself and your home first. Then you can reach out to a larger community. And so, again, Brother Satabi, I appreciate you, sir, for the time on these airwaves. And I appreciate the listening audience for taking time, you know, for listening to us. Because, you know, our intentions are honorable. And we bring stuff, you know, we like to keep it real. You know, I have an opinion just like you have one. But we have to cancel out this fear thing. We have to cancel out this negative information that's coming our way. We have to stop listening to that propaganda that pitting us against our own selves. We can't take every time somebody says this person did that. We just can't take it to heart without doing your own investigation. Don't be so quick to judge, especially your own. And so, brothers and Tommy, I'm going to bring it back to you.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm looking in the book right now. And, you know, he has a thing about where did the Black Inferiority Campaign begin? He said, you know, in the 1620s, that America's first brands were not products. They were slaves who American landowners turned into commodities. You know, we need to think about what were the first commodities in this country. And the first commodities in this country was us, slaves. You know, that was America's brand. And which is very interesting as today, as people are moving forward in the upcoming election, that people are starting to have a dialogue about reparations, paying the debt. And that's something that Randall Robinson had pushed forth years ago, and also Representative John Conyers had a bill that came before Congress each year. House resolution, I'm trying to remember the number of that bill, but anyway, I'll remember for the next show. But, you know, America owes us a debt. And when we say a debt, we're talking a debt for how this country was built. You cannot rule out the fact that our foreparents were forced to work from, as Malcolm X used to say, from can't see in the morning to can't see at night. And you know, did not get paid a dime. And so, other than that, if you dismiss slavery, then this country could not have been built. Slavery was what financed the Industrial Revolution. So the debt, this country, America, became great on the back of our ancestors. And it's important when, you know, Donald Trump be saying, let's make America great again. Yeah, well, not on our backs. You know, the thing is that we need to let them know how did America become great, and being able to make sure that people understand and internalize that message. You know, and there's going to be white folk who will say, well, you know, hey, I ain't had nothing to do with slavery. No, but your ancestors did. You inherited a position that gave you a head start. And so, you know, and that's important for them to understand that there's a couple white candidates who, I'm trying to remember the lady's name, she was on the program, The Breakfast Club, which is a very, very good program. But yeah, that's one of her platform issues, you know, and she's talking about how that has to be resolved and taken care of. So, you know, it's just important that that message gets out. And it's very interesting that the 2020 presidential election And we're going to hear a lot of discussion around reparations and, you know, how to address that issue. So I'm excited to see, you know, what stance these people take on the issue. But the main thing is that the dialogue is coming forth, that